With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
What time is it? Game time, people. Well, at least it's game week. Week zero in college football. Now, I guess you could say officially underway. A Saturday afternoon, right around noontime Eastern, Florida State and Georgia Tech will kick off the college football season. And away we go. The best hour of your day now officially underway. It's Donnie. It's Kevin. It's Moneyline. It's the Sports Grid Network. We're ready to rise and shine on this game week, Kevin. Is the excitement in the air? Unbelievable talent on the field between Florida State and Georgia Tech. Maybe the game of the year, they're saying here.
Yeah, listen, it is weird when you get the week zero slate because I know that you don't like it, right?
Nope.
I kind of enjoy it because we get college football, but I understand that it's not like the full thing, but at least we like get a slate, right? Over on CFT, it kind of works out for us because we have a few games to go through, and then we get to do all the futures for people. But they are inching closer to maybe you're the commissioner and you haven't told anybody. You cannot do a college football slate four games deep. But I don't think the purpose of week zero is we'll put a game at each window, and everybody's going to get a little bit of shine. It's usually seven or eight games. And I'm not telling you that the three games added here would feature Bama, Texas, Georgia, but there would be one more game that would involve real teams and two more games that involve legitimately useless programs. Useless is mean, but you know what I'm trying to say. Instead, it's four games. I just don't, like, having Hawaii in week zero is great. Delaware State? Delaware State? I'm not asking Donnie for Ohio State.
Yeah.
Right?
Correct.
Delaware State, though?
Fresno, maybe Hawaii, Fresno. You know, you can maybe sink your teeth into it, have a little bit of fun out there on the West Coast. But it, like, if you look at other leagues, right? Let's do the equivalent, Kevin. NFL game number one. The Carolina Panthers are going to play Thursday night against the Indianapolis Colts. Now, you might like the Colts, right? But it's like, well, we'll watch it, but maybe it could have been better. In the NBA, they have a doubleheader on opening night that's going to be fantastic, as opposed to just opening up with the Charlotte Hornets at that point, right? Like, oh, man, maybe you could have did something better. Like, the bigness of week, if you're going to have week zero, either do one of two things, Kevin. Week zero is like an extravaganza of the teams we don't expect to be great football teams, but they're going to get their shine because we'll all watch on opening day. 25 games, week zero, teams that you don't expect a lot from, but it's just a big card and you can sink your teeth into. Or do this, Kevin. Week zero, which opens up on a Friday night or a Thursday night, and it's Florida State, Georgia Tech. And then you have a normal slate on that Saturday. I just don't understand, like, hey, we're ready for football. Sure. And that's why it's called week zero instead of week one, I guess, where it's like, this isn't really a week, but there are football teams playing.
Again, that is the... They can't make the games actually very good because then it's just week one. But Donnie, can I read you last year's week zero? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
First of all, in that window, there were seven games. So right away, you're giving people more options. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii went to Vanderbilt. Now, again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Vanderbilt's great, but I think those teams did like a home and home. Hawaii needs to be scheduling with a real school for that game, not Delaware State. Okay, so that's problem number one. Now, your useless games, right, Donnie? Jacksonville State, UTEP, New Mexico State, UMass, San Diego State's a real team. They played Ohio out of the MAC. They're usually okay. Louisiana Tech played Florida International. Now, if that was the slate only, that five games, you would have nobody trying to defend week zero's existence. Here were the other two games, even if they were terrible. Notre Dame in Ireland against Navy, and the Heisman Trophy winner and Heisman Trophy favorite, Caleb Williams and USC, Donnie, were in action against San Jose State.
Mm-hmm.
How did we do that year over year? How did we lose three games? We had two top 15 teams going. We're getting ACC conference action. We're not even supposed to be getting conference games in week zero or week. What is that?
Like week zero could be fun again. Like you could have a game, Kevin, Thursday, Friday, maybe one or two Saturday, Sunday, and then even play into that Monday, which they do on that first week because the NFL isn't necessarily there. It's either you want week zero to be a great promotion of your sport or just have it in week one. Like if we didn't have a week zero, we just went right to week one with real football. I don't think anybody would have a difference. Like, oh man, I can't wait for football for one more week. But if you are going to have a week zero, it should just be either teams that don't matter, but a lot of them, Kevin, or three or four games of bangers to open up the season. What we're getting now doesn't look all that great, but we will be watching. Don't get me wrong. And Florida State, Georgia Tech isn't a terrible game, but if that's the crown jewel and it's played in Ireland, not even on somebody's home campus, it's kind of crazy.
But again, like the Ireland week zero tradition is all of a sudden building. All I, Don, even if I just simply took this slate, right, and told you Hawaii is going to play Duke, okay, instead of Delaware State, and Oregon is on this slate playing pick a Mountain West school, I don't care who, right?
Yep.
All of a sudden now, you would, Utah State's perfect. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden now, what would be happening is you would have the same complaints. And I'd understand that, but I go, I don't know, Donnie. We got Florida State first time since last year's nightmare situation played out. We get, you know, Dylan Gabriel and Oregon in action. Duke Hawaii feels like fun. I can't do that now. I can't do that. I don't know how we lost so much year over year in week zero. I really don't.
Now, what is the show on this Saturday? Is it going to be a half hour for the boys in the studio? Is it an hour long? You can't go 3 hours, can you? Is that possible?
Three, baby. Three full. Look, I'll tell you this right now. We do it, and I think it's necessary because I think when it comes to like the pro football today, you know, myself, you and Joe Lisi, by the time everyone gets to Sunday, like we're two games in and it's like, look, man, like let's just pick games, right?
Yes.
As far as the futures go, we all have our avenues to kind of give that out. With week zero, we've kind of turned that into the our own traditional futures show.
Yeah.
And
that makes sense.
That's how we go through our 3 hours. I mean, look, we're going to hit these. But again, Don, we have four games, right? I mean, it's going to be 60% plus on futures in that show. But I'm excited about that.
Yeah, no, it should be fun. By the way, not knowing the football schedule, I assume, are we in studio for a Thursday and a Friday to start the NFL season? Do we know that yet? Do you have any behind-the-scenes knowledge there on that?
Yeah, I got some phone calls, man. I got some phone calls. I looks like we're going to be in the mix. With the people, so excited about that. A lot of big-time games opening up here.
Apparently. I don't get any fun. I must be in like a barricaded bunker over here in the shells. But hopefully that changes soon. But football season officially, like we're the part I was so excited with, like waking up this morning, like, okay, now is that, you know, no longer a man, we're waiting for football season to start. It starts this weekend and goes right through the month of February, which is great. And you get to sort of take a look at those teams. And I'm telling you, man, before you know it, it's like week four, week five, week six, week seven. It goes so fast because of how much fun it is that, yes, noon kick. And by the way, shout out to people out there. If you're going to have one football game on opening day, put that bad boy at noon. Everybody will get to watch. Everybody will get to relax. Everybody will get to check in. Florida State, Georgia Tech starts it all, people, on that marathon season. I'm going to go over a poll question that we had from the early line today, which made a lot of sense. We'll see if Kevin agrees. It's the best hour of your day officially underway right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hot topics across the board. You know how we get down right here on the Sports Grid Network. Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Donnie and Kevin. It's Moneyline. Just talking about that opening week zero of college football, and away we go. Now, I teased with, we had a question, Kevin. What are you most excited for? And the three things you could vote on were, number three, neither, and number two and one were the college football season or the NFL season. And it was pretty close. It was like 55-45 NFL with the lead here. And I asked that question, like, you know what, would it be different if the NFL and the college football season opened up at the same time? Because most people are like, yeah, I'm excited. Next 2 weeks is college football. Heck yeah. The NFL's still a little bit of ways to go until we get that first week of September Thursday night football game. But my question would be, like, are you more excited for the college football season per se or just football season in general?
I mean, I don't know. There's a certain charm to college football that the NFL can't really replicate that I've started to really appreciate a lot more. The NFL is just kind of king, though. Like, we know that, right? It's what dominates all the conversation. Like, I almost take it to the extreme, Don, is if you told me I had to only watch one this year, right?
Yeah.
If I had to remove one, I mean, I'd probably end up still having to watch the NFL. That's what it would be necessary. I'm excited for the NFL, though. I think it's going to be a good year. College football always has juice. We have the format change, which is probably the big draw to just kind of see how markets move. Like, I think from a betting perspective, early read is like the college football futures markets are going to be a lot of fun for us to get into on a regular basis.
Yeah, I've told Ben many times, and yourself included, I think this year's college football season is going to be the best. The best one we've ever seen, with how many games that are actually going to matter late in the season that never mattered before. It's going to be awesome to watch it play out. It'll be fun the first time through the playoff structure, which, again, if I was commissioner, there'd be many more changes made to that. There'd be more teams than the 12 in there, but we would not have, we'd play it just like the NFL does. Higher seed, home team until the championship game, which will be played in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, New Orleans, Atlanta, wherever you want to rotate it around. I do think they make a mistake there because I see a lot of these teams that are like, you know what? We want the home gate. We'd rather play that first round game at home, and how much the pageantry would be. I think it's going to be fantastic. But I think it was really close because college football is this week as opposed to the NFL. So pretty much enjoying that all the way through. But I thought it was an interesting poll nonetheless at that point. Now, we do have to wait a couple weeks here for the NFL to get going, but a lot of things happened in the NFL this weekend, Kevin. I was dipping my toes in, like, just watching some of those replayed games, not watching them live per se, like, I'll catch up, I'll see the final score, but I wanted to see how some of these young quarterbacks were improving. But before we get to the young quarterbacks and who we think's improving, how about Gardner Minshew? Vegas Raiders announced as the starting quarterback in Las Vegas. I wasn't, you know, shocked by this decision. Both of those two guys were neck and neck. But I always brought up, like, Antonio Pierce, the way he got a hold of that locker room where they trusted him and basically rode one through a wall for that guy is he sees it the same way the players do. Give me the best player this weekend, Kevin, that gives me the chance to win a football game and you're going to play. And clearly, that's Gardner Minshew in my eyes. Is it great for the long-term focus of the Raiders that Gardner Minshew is starting? Not necessarily. But Aiden O'Connell not starting here, I think that's how that locker room really sticks together, where the players see it, the coaches see it. Let it play it out that way, because I know one thing that players don't like, Kevin. You know what? I'm out here balling. I'm better than this guy, but the ownership group wants to get a look at this young guy just to see if he's in our future. I like the move for the Raiders in the short term by going with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, I think the takeaway from their game against Dallas is neither one of these guys should be their starting quarterback heading into this season. They should probably just call the Dallas Cowboys and see if they can give Trey Lance a run. What a waste of a year this is, and Antonio Pierce just needs to hope he isn't fired for what is a full waste of his time. Everybody knows Gardner Minshew is not a franchise quarterback. You're insane if you even try and hold on to that dream. People keep saying he's a winner. That makes no sense. He's like 10 games under 500 in his career as a starter. Aiden O'Connell at least had going for him being young. But again, I'm not saying I would be holding on to it because Aiden O'Connell went in the fourth round. He went in the fourth round for a reason. He had an opportunity, not just last year in the games he was able to start. He had an opportunity in preseason and lost, right? So, okay, no tears spilt over that. But the idea that when they bench Gardner Minshew after 6, 7, 8 weeks of football and then they turn into Aiden O'Connell, it's a lost year. Again, if you're going to have a lost year, wouldn't you rather have that lost season with Trey Lance or someone of that ilk where you think, I don't know, maybe this guy has some juice in there? You can't still be telling yourself that about Gardner Minshew. It's ridiculous.
No, you can't. But that's where the whole premise was. I just thought the way he sort of rescued that locker room, the best players will play, players do rally around that. For the health of the franchise, you're better off bottoming out and saying, what about this young quarterback? I get it, but that wasn't how he got that job. And also the presumption of, hey, by the way, if I get this job, make sure you don't fire me in 3 to 4 years because I'm going to be testing out young quarterbacks. We know that's not the way it works out. He's trying to win football games. And as always, coaches typically are in self-preservation mode unless they come to town with a fresh 5-year deal that they would just come up from college and it's understood that we're rebuilding. That's not really the case here. Once you again, they bring in Derek Carr. They shift him out in 1 year. I mean, nothing makes some sense. Josh McDaniels, your head coach, that was a disaster. It's always been a questionable run franchise, to say the least, at this point. Off topic here. Miami Dolphins, Kevin. We're not going to talk to Tagovailoa and his anger towards Brian Flores, which obviously we know they didn't get along. But what do you make of this, though? Do you remember in the offseason, and some players I talk about are heroes to current players, even though there might only be, Kevin, 3, 4, 5 years difference, right? We talk about like the poster above my bed. It seems like Odell Beckham is that player that so many young kids look up to in the NFL this day as one of the superstar heroes of their like childhood. The Dolphins sign him, Kevin. He hasn't even practiced yet. What is the deal? Like, and again, Mike McDaniel said he doesn't expect to see Odell Beckham even coming back to practice this week. I don't think he's been to an OTA yet. Do we even know what's wrong with Odell Beckham Jr. at this point?
No, but in some degree, I'm sure for Miami, it's not a big cause of concern because, like you said, Donnie, he's incredibly famous, right?
Yes.
But I don't know. You're still upset that he got the Ravens for a couple more million than he should have?
God. I mean, that guy almost made $17 million for catching like three footballs. And after they lost the playoff game, happy as can be, dapping it up with the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm saying to myself, what world do I live in? A lot more NFL topics on the way, including K-Dub. New York Yankees, man. Thought they had a winner out there in Williamsport. Not so fast as the Detroit Tigers take that dub. Many more hot topics to come right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get after some things that we saw today. Or should I say over the weekend in the National Football League. We'll get to some Major League Baseball. Got a full card today. Some good spots, including one of Kevin's favorite pitchers, I do believe, is going to be on the mound today. Mr. We used to call him Wheeler at times. Mr. Aller, if you remember him from the Oakland Athletics days. He's now resurfaced with the Miami Marlins. Yeah, he's resurfaced with the Marlins. He might get torched tonight by the Diamondbacks, something we'll get to a little bit later. But there were interesting things, Kevin, on the quarterback landscape. Was able to go through some games and watch and just try to check things out. Now, I understand. This isn't any hater attitude that's coming through here. I do think Caleb Williams is going to win the NFL Rookie of the Year because I think he's a good quarterback. They surrounded him with talent. He's going to be out there for 18 weeks barring injury. He's going to put up some decent numbers. But I use this term as the ESPN followers where they see a highlight or two and be like, unbelievable, man. And then I go, okay, let me get some context to this. So the same Caleb Williams that started that football game for the Chicago Bears, and had 9 plays, 3 and out against all backups, right? First drive for this fourth time out on the field, they actually had to run a reverse, Kevin, in order to pick up a first down with Odunze, which is fine. You saw a couple off-schedule plays that he did make, which were so, so interesting and fun to watch. But I just think are like social media anointed Caleb Williams off of that game because of a couple highlights and not taking things into totality here. And I'm not knocking him. I just told you. He should be the NFL's offensive rookie of the year. I expect that to happen. But we are anointing this guy too quickly, K-Dub, on this preseason.
But what are we anointing him? Because you're anointing him rookie of the year. So what are you up? So people saw he had a great highlight. People are excited about it. What is it that people are anointing?
I saw some things out there. He never has to buy another drink in Chicago again. What a season we're going to have when they're not even favored.
That
to
sounds
make the
like something that you would say, though, quite frankly, because of how bad their quarterback situation has been. Like the,
you
I feel
were
like
there.
They should retire.
You were
his
there
jersey.
In the Justin Field days. What were you feeling when you were in the building to watch Justin Fields' first game at Soldier Field? What was the vibes like?
I think they...
You were there.
Didn't they get destroyed by the Buffalo Bills the game I was there because Mitch Trubisky came back to town? I had the over in the game. That's actually all I really remember.
Yeah.
Like, Donnie,
like we were led to believe that he was ready to go off. And I'm not... Again, I'm not knocking it. But let's take it. Like, his performance in that preseason game was not good. But the highlights were, he was amazing in that game. No, he wasn't. He was not amazing in that game.
No, but I'm not gonna tell you that he was DRS, right? But I think it's preseason football, and it's him showing flashes of stuff that, again, they feel like that position's not really been capable of in some time, while also hooking up with another top 10 wide receiver choice that they just made this, you know, during this rookie class. Look, if you want to know how things are going with Justin Fields, at halftime of that game against the Buffalo Bills, he was 4 for 5 for like 20 yards. And people were like, he's got to win the job because that's how bad they feel Russell Wilson. It's like just terrible, terrible stuff going on all around. Fields somehow was broken somewhere in Chicago, a la the Philadelphia 76ers breaking Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons.
Yep.
But
yes,
again, they should be excited in Chicago, Donnie. They have every reason to be. Because, again, they weren't the worst team in the league last year. And they added so much. Like, expecting them to make the playoffs is not unfair, and it's not solely based on Caleb Williams.
I got to tell you this, too. Because I was, because we're going to get to the Pittsburgh Steelers, because this is going to be, you can write a thesis statement for, and I can't wait to get after it. But if we are looking at one of these games, we're just going to set the table for this one. If you watched at all the Giants-Texans game this weekend, and you just popped it on, and you could say to yourself, like, one team looks like they're ready possibly to win a Super Bowl. Why? Because their quarterback just looks elite right off the bat again. I understand it was against backups, but CJ Stroud. And then you flip it over to the opposite side with Daniel Jones, throwing some of the most horrendous. He had 2 interceptions, should have had 3. Quite frankly, should have been 2 for a pick 6 on back-to-back, like, basically plays/possessions for the Giants. It's crazy to look at that because I looked at the other side. I saw, you know, Stephon Diggs get his first catch. Nico Collins getting some work. C.J. Stroud looks like a 10-year vet out there just whipping it around, Kevin. Unbelievable, man.
Yeah. And on the other side of the field, Daniel Jones. You want to talk about Caleb having to stay in too long. Daniel Jones went 3 and out, pick 6, pick. And then they still kept him in there for the whole first half so we could try and salvage the day. Tough.
The best part about Daniel Jones is you signed your franchise guy to a big contract, and you basically, as a general manager, came out like, this is a great contract. In 2 years, if he stinks, we can get out from under it. Well, congratulations. He stinks, and you'll be able to get out from under it at the end of this season. NFL football. More quarterbacks to take a look at? You guessed it. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Kevin, I asked this question to Ben this morning. Just going through like preseason football. Going to 3 games and adding 1 more regular season game. I think it's very good. Because we all want more regular season action, extended an extra week. You know, then the playoffs, then the Super Bowl. Like, I like that. Preseason is basically a waste of time. But in the past, you had four games, Kevin. Week number one, starters will go out there, maybe rummage around for a series, maybe two. Week number two, you get probably a first quarter. Week number three, you're playing right into the half. Week number four, nobody played. You get that bye week off, and then the regular season starts. So I was figuring to myself, okay, let's go ahead and have three games. So game number one, guys will play a little bit, but game number two, like, you're going to get across the NFL, Kevin, starters on both sides of the football probably playing at least a half, and then probably game number three, nobody playing just like before. Like, you know what? It's more condensed. At least we'll get to watch football. What has happened to preseason football? Like, the reason why I wanted to make sure I go back and watch all of these games, because number one, I'm looking for the rookies, and maybe I'm looking for maybe a player or two that steps out who was injured last year coming back, a la a Daniel Jones. But trying to, like, measure what makes sense, like, hey, Bo Nix has looked pretty good in the preseason. Is he going against so many starters? You take a look at other quarterbacks. Oh, man, lighting the world on fire. Yeah, but he's not going up against any starters. How did we get to a realm, Kevin, where, like, teams like the Philadelphia Eagles look like they are not going to put an offensive player on the football field one time in the preseason? How did it get this way?
I don't know. I mean, there's – what I think's interesting, Donnie, is that there is no consensus on what to do. Like, Mahomes goes out there for three drives, right? Hurts was supposed to play in game one, and then it rained. Everybody thought Josh Allen was going to play on Saturday. And then apparently, I don't know, the kickoff was delayed like 10 minutes, and then they just didn't play. Like, he was going to play like a quarter and a half, and then ended up playing none of the football game, which is just really, really odd. So I get what you're saying. I'll add this, though, and look, I don't want to make too much about it because it is preseason, but I had another excellent weekend, ultimately, of betting preseason football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, someone sent unders? Me... so Donnie, though, like, I did have the over, though, in the Kansas City-Detroit game, right? So it's not like I just kind of line up at under on every game, but I am betting a lot of unders. I'm not going to act like I'm not.
Yeah.
And I was talking with someone, and I was like, yeah, like, I have the, you know, the under in this game, right? And they're like, oh, it's great. And I'm like, yeah, you know, they are, you know, pretty low scoring. I go, I know, but, like, you would think then that the totals would just be lower. Like, I don't know if, and this is where we don't kind of know, right? Like, are the books, is this working out for them? Because people are like, ah, it's preseason, throw a couple dollars on the over, whatever it might be. But, and look, some of these numbers are landing close, Donnie, but the hit rate on unders so far through 2 weeks of preseason action, I mean, it's been monster. It really has.
27-6. 27-6.
Is that what it is?
Yes, 27-6.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you are blind betting under, you are cracking. And maybe it is because you're expecting, like, hey, week number one into week number two, teams are going to get play. And it's just not happening at this point. Like, nobody really is playing starters getting out to the field.
Yeah, but I also just think that there's, like, certain spots where maybe logic is escaping people. Like, the total gets, like, jumped up in the Giants-Texans game because Daniel Jones is going to play. He's a legitimately terrible quarterback. I mean, he's legitimately garbage. I mean, if that was my franchise quarterback, I would have to consider changing the team I root for. I mean, it's pathetic. I mean, if my franchise paid that guy, I would simply have to go back to the drawing table and think about maybe I need to switch over to the New York Jets or the Philadelphia Eagles. Heck, maybe just, you know what, leave the state. Leave the coast. Head over, be an LA Rams fan or something. I can't be a New York Giants fan. Daniel Jones is my quarterback. But even then, too, Donnie, it's like you see spots where you've got, like, Saints Niners, right? It's like, we don't, you know, Derek Carr, Brock Purdy might play. Mm-hmm. It's like, they're going to play how much? These guys are going to play a drive, a quarter at most. And usually, and you know this very well, right? So let's just say Derek Carr goes out there, first drive, scores a touchdown. He's going to sit. Nobody stays out there, scores at these starters. No. They don't stay out there, open and drive, touchdown, and keep going. So you're really, at most, going to give up a score. And then things are going to kind of – I didn't realize they were hitting at a 27-6 rate. I knew they had been good. Yeah. I didn't realize it was that good.
Crushing. Just look at some of those scores. And maybe the score that could have been the most baffling this weekend. Buffalo Bills 9, Pittsburgh Steelers 3. The Steelers lined up the entire game. Fields and Wilson, let's battle to see who's going to be the starting quarterback. They came away, and the Bills obviously maybe started the game playing some defensive starters, but not all the way through. That offense scored 3 points. Now, here's my favorite part about it. I'm not saying Justin Fields is doing anything to win this job, But Russell Wilson, if you just look at the numbers, like, oh, he went 8 of 10. Watch that football game back. Constantly taking sacks. And every time he had a chance to what? Dump the football off on third and long. That's what he did to pick up 8 or 9 yards to make look his statistics a little bit better. But here's the question I want to ask you. All I had asked for the Pittsburgh Steelers coming into the season, they got talent on offense. They got talent on defense. They got, you know, a head coach that's used to winning teams, not necessarily winning at all per se lately, but winning football teams. The way it played out where you had Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, which 9 out of 10 coaches will tell you, I got both of these guys. What a battle it's going to be. May the best man win. And from day number one, it was, I don't care what Russell Wilson does. As long as he has 2 legs and 2 arms, he will be my starting quarterback no matter what happens here. And Russell Wilson just hasn't looked that great and injured in the preseason so far. Comes out 8 of 10, 47 yards. First 3 series, all 3 and outs, taking sacks all over the place. And if I have my, I don't think I have the my notes in front of him on this one, but just doesn't look good. Now, Justin Fields isn't turning on the gas. 11 of 17, 92 yards. Did have, you know, a couple long runs, 8 for 42. We know the athletic ability is still there. I just want to watch Mike Tomlin in the press conference again where they keep asking him questions and he gets annoyed. But I think the press and the fans getting annoyed by, like, why isn't this actually an open competition? Because if you remember, Kevin, I brought up the point. They were in camp where Russ was still hurt. They open up their scrimmage, the team scrimmage, you know, graded, let's end camp before we get to the preseason games. Justin Fields, you're not going to really be the starter. Russ, get in there, hand the football off, come right out and let Justin Fields go. Why did we hand the keys over to Russell Wilson without even giving any pressure to him as like, you know what, it's an open competition?
It's all bizarre, though, Donnie, because then there are like reports that are like, no, it is open. And then there's people who are like, not only is it not open, they're going to give Russell Wilson an extension the second they can give him an extension. It's like, what is going on here? The only thing I wonder, and I'm not saying that this would mean the Steelers are well ran, but if you start with Russell Wilson and then bench him, Fields would hopefully get the rest of the year.
Yes.
If you start with Justin Fields and he is his typical bad self, because that is a little lost in the shuffle, somewhat understandably, that Justin Fields has just not been good at the quarterback position for the most of his NFL career. And that's someone who thinks he can be good. But if you start off with Fields and after 4 weeks you're like, this isn't working, you have to bench him for Russ. I'd rather start Russ and bench him than start Fields and bench him, if that makes any sense.
I hear what you're saying on this, but it looks like it's one of those, like, hey, man, they got Russell Wilson for a song and a dance, like, cost you absolutely nothing. You bring in Justin Fields, like, you know what? This is pretty good by the Steelers. Two quarterbacks looking to resurrect their careers, going toe-to-toe, let the best man win. And those vibes just from day one were like, you know, they make the acquisition and Tomlin has like a press release or answers questions or calls into it, whatever it is. And he basically was like dumbfounded, like, no, like, Mike, you brought in Justin Fields. This is great. I mean, you know, what a quarterback battle. Like, what quarterback battle? Like, no, Russell is our starter. Well, what happens if they play? No. You don't understand. Like, Russ is the starting quarterback. Almost like we got Justin Fields. I have no idea why. And the only reason we got him is if Russell Wilson tears his knee in week 4, at least we have somebody we can go to. It was never, man, this is going to be unbelievable. I can't wait to get there, because he always talks about, like, we want what? What's his hostage word? We want volunteers, not hostages, right? Like, hey, we want people that are going to come one here to play. Like, Fields gets transferred. I always wanted to go to Pittsburgh because he legitimately thought he had a chance to start. And from day one showing up, it's like, no, you're not starting. Matter of fact, we're not even going to give you a chance to start. That's what I think plays out. Almost has people rooting against Russell Wilson just to see what might happen. 3 points out of the Steelers. Come on now. See if that changes this week. We'll be right back to Moneyline on a Monday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Watching some other preseason football this weekend. You know, you get some good, you get some bad out there. We're waiting for the regular season, and we understand that. But Bo Nix did look pretty good here for the Denver Broncos. Looks like he has command of that offense. Again, he's going against some backups, but apparently it's not as if it's like, I have to beat out Russell Wilson. I have to beat out a legitimate starter. I have to beat this person out. Like, it's Jared Stidham you know, for all intents and purposes. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, who's the other guy? The Jets kid.
Zach Wilson. I'm
forgetting his name. Yeah, Zach Wilson. I mean, come on now. Exactly. I couldn't even remember the guy's name, which is how influential he's been in his NFL career. Bo Nix is going to be starter game number one for Denver, right?
Yeah, it would be crazy if he isn't. Just because I know I'm like, oh, team sit the guy, but older quarterback, Sean Payton doesn't have that kind of time, and the guys in front of him are not guys that you can start. You cannot start Zach Wilson. You cannot start Jared Stidham. So that is a decision that they have to make there. I don't want to cut short the Bo Nix stuff, Donnie, but
yeah.
Can we get into the Michael Penix thing? Or are you uninterested in the Michael Penix?
No. I'll start with this. I don't understand how teams use the preseason anymore, right? And particularly for starting players. You're never going to get me to say that's the stupidest decision I've ever seen in my life, because always the out is, hey, look, if I play my starting running back, let's just say I'll use the Eagles, Saquon Barkley, because I wanted to get him two carries, and he has a high ankle sprain on one of those carries. I can't face the media. I can't even face like my owner at this point going like, why would you be giving that guy carries in the preseason knowing you need him for the long haul of the season? I get that. But if you are a quarterback that's not anticipated to play for maybe this year or even next year, you know what I do in the preseason? Every chance I get a chance for this young kid to play and get some reps in and get some game film and get used to it, I do that. But Michael Penix not playing this weekend tells me two things. Number one, they had to hire the wrong head coach. Or number two, I don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to make it through the first couple weeks of the season. That's what I'm getting out of this, Kevin.
It is not unfair to make that leap that which Donnie just did. Look, this Falcons team is starting to drive me nuts. Like, I really hope I don't end up loving this roster and betting this team in some capacity.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows that when they drafted Michael Penix, they upset Kirk Cousins. That is not some media creation. Cousins is essentially acknowledged as much publicly. But it is then a situation that the Falcons are like, listen, we're trying to exist on two timelines. We brought in Matthew Judon. We brought in Justin Simmons. Like, don't worry about it, Kirk. You're the guy. And then you look around week two of the preseason, right? And Donnie, forget whether Hurts or Lamar or Josh Allen take the field. Caleb Williams on the field. And he's starting, we know, this week one. Jaden Daniels, you better believe it. Bo Nix and Drake May are all out there. And the Falcons go, we've seen enough? What are you talking about? What have you seen enough to decide he's your backup quarterback? Are you insane? We knew he was your backup quarterback when you drafted him 8th overall. You've seen enough. Okay.
And
Donnie, I'm with you. Either they're about to legitimately stun everybody and say Penix won this job, or it's going to come out that Kirk Cousins isn't healthy enough to start week one and Michael Penix will be opening the year. Because this is crazy behavior.
It is crazy behavior because, again, when you're not anticipated to play, you want them to play the entire preseason just to get their feet wet in NFL games, even if it is backups here. And the fact that he was playing against backups, like, we saw enough at this point, like, not like, you know what, we can't risk him getting injured because he's the backup quarterback. It's so crazy. It goes hand in hand with, hey, look who the Falcons are going to hire as a head coach. Ooh, that's questionable for me. All right. How about the draft coming up next? Well, that's a really questionable move here for a top 10 pick that you say. Again, the general manager coming out with maybe the saying, or should I say the quote of the year. It's like, you know what? It's going to be a really good problem to have when Penix doesn't see the field. It's like, oh my God. Like, we're totally missing the point on how championship teams are actually built. Not worrying about this year's team, but saying, all right, when Kirk retires, hopefully he's pretty good in 4 to 5 years, we'll have that guy ready to go. As if it was a third or fourth round pick that you're grooming here. A top 10 draft pick that could have been used on a cornerback, on a safety, on a wide receiver, on whatever you wanted to use it on, a top left tackle or a guard at that point, and they didn't do it. But I'm with you. I saw that and said, I don't understand, because you know what I did, Kevin? I was going around to the games. I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me watch the film. So wait a second. Who's starting this game? What's going on here? And I found that quote. Yeah. Like, yeah, we saw enough. It was like, sometimes you just don't know what the organization is going through, but that they tell you everything by what they actually don't have to tell you. Like, hey, you know what? What are you doing? We're going to draft a running back in round number one. Next year, we're going to draft a quarterback who we hope never plays. Like, wow, I don't know what this franchise is doing at this point.
No, but this is – how far does Kirk Cousins have to go this season, Donnie, to hold off Michael Panics taking his job next year? Because it now feels like that's going to be a legitimate conversation no matter what, unless this team is, I don't know, in a conference championship game. Like, doesn't it feel like that's the direction we're heading?
They have to win, which again isn't a huge leap in that division, but they have to win that division. But also, it wasn't as if it, Kevin, was, you know, we're going to assume Kirk Cousins' contract. There's no more guaranteed money. Yes, we have to pay him $45 million a year, but if we make the move, we owe nothing here. Like, Kirk Cousins signed a lucrative deal that if you drop him at the end of the season, Kevin, like, you can't sign anybody in free agency. It's that detrimental. That's what doesn't make any sense. Like, I understand that, like, we didn't know if we were going for Penix or not. But in a perfect world, I guess they were saying, like, maybe I wish we didn't sign Kirk Cousins, use that money elsewhere, drafted Penix, and away you would go. Like, you're in a better situation there. Even though I love the move when they got Cousins. Like, you know what? They're trying to win the division. I can't fault them for that. But then doubling down and getting your quarterback by saying, well, we hope to be so good, we're not drafting a quarterback for the next couple of years. But it's top 10. It's top 10, though.
Yeah, listen, he's got this job this year and next year, no questions asked. Basically, it would have to be the third year because that would be $25 million dead cap, which isn't great. But, like, $90 million, $65 million dead cap this year and next year. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't sign a football team here. It's some of the moves that they made make no sense. You signed Kirk Cousins to be your franchise guy for the next 3 to 4 years at least. And now you're telling us, you know what? Let's draft a top 10 quarterback and he plays well enough, we might have a quarterback controversy in a year and a half. That's not how competent franchises are run. Oh, Atlanta Falcons drive me crazy, even though I do think they win the NFC South this year. So that's that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, feels like all NFL all the time, people. I get it. Coming up, college football this weekend, week zero. Are we going to enjoy it? Absolutely. But hear me out on this, Kevin. Baseball is still going to take place today. 6:40 p.m., which is the first game up tonight. It's our good friends here. Brandon fought for the Arizona Diamondbacks as a minus 200 favorite on the road against the Marlins. Adam Aller is back in these streets, Kevin. And his name popped up today. I said, hold on now. I know that name. I remember from the Oakland Athletics. Kevin, he had 19 and two-thirds innings pitched in 2023 for Oakland at the Major League Baseball level. His ERA, 10.07. His expected ERA, 7.82. His FIP number, 7.22. His ex-FIP number, almost a 7. Disastrous. So in 2024, he hasn't made his Major League debut yet. But in Cleveland, Kevin, he pitched 27 and two-thirds innings pitched for the AAA affiliate. His ERA at AAA, 7.48. His FIP number 6, his ex-FIP number right short of 5. But he has turned it around a little bit in Miami with their AAA affiliate. 25 innings pitched, a 2.88 ERA, and a 3.7 FIP number with a 3.9 ex-FIP. I'm not buying it. I'm telling you right now, I'm not buying it here. This guy is going to come up against one of those lineups that can absolutely smash you. Now, there's two ways, Kevin, this game goes. Aller gets the start, 5 innings pitched, 6 earned runs. We just needed innings from you, kid. You gave it to us. We didn't really feel like winning, and so be it. But is there any point in your mind where Aller goes, 5 2/3 innings pitched, 3 hits, no earned runs, and 4? Do you see what I'm going on this? Like, this one should be one you paint the store with.
Oof. I will tell you this. I'm not doubting you. Dallas Keuchel has left me, like, worried about all these. Remember when Dallas Keuchel returned on and was throwing, like, yes, Cy Young baseball for some reason? I mean, what was that about? Right. I didn't like that. So it's kind of thrown me off the beaten path a little bit. Now, you said you were going to get to this, man. Can you please handle this Clay Holmes stuff for me? Are his ex-FIP numbers terrible? This guy made an all-star game. He's basically the worst closer in Yankees history.
Yeah.
I mean, what is going on here?
Supposed to be, like, one of the hammers in your bullpen at that point. It's kind of funny, too, because that Yankees game last night, I'm watching, like, this is a boring as all get out here. But the Yankees are going to win. They're up 1-0. Like, Detroit's not doing anything. I woke up and saw that game with the extra innings and the Yankees lost. Like, I was kind of, and it wasn't even like, it's like, you know what, Don? It was 6-0 Yankees. Like, at 1-0, I felt the same amount of confidence as a 10-0 game that the Yankees were going to win that, let alone blow that baseball game. I don't know what it is with that guy. Like, the stuff is there. You have to make changes. I don't know. But that's a game that you should be able to wrap up. Now, I did see from yesterday, you know, because sometimes you flip on, like, Sports Grid, they give you the clips at the bottom. I saw, was it your plays or was it Joe's plays yesterday? Tough from that Yankees game. We all been there, though. Whose was it? Was it yours?
I was on the Yanks money line.
It was Yanks. Yeah. You were on Yanks. It didn't say who it was. It was Yanks money line. Judge to get an RBI. And I don't know, something else. I was like, yeah, that's a tough one. But then again, you're in the minor league ballpark. You should. I don't care if school ball over 7.5 strikeouts, which I think only like 4 or 5 at that point. But you're still expecting runs there. Warm night, minor league baseball plays. That ball should fly. That ball wasn't even getting out of the infield yesterday.
No, it wasn't good. I think they should have played with Little League fences. Now that would have been exciting. Come on now. That's can't miss. Lomity.
You put that at Lomity Stadium where they play the Little League World Series. That would have been, and by the matter of fact, Kevin, it still might have been 3-2 the way that game played out. I mean, what were they doing at the plate? I even saw a FanDuel, somebody commented yesterday to me. He's like, hey, what do you think about this FanDuel boost tonight? And it was Soto and Judge just to get a base hit. It was like -150 boost to the +110. I said, I don't like it because the Scooble numbers weren't good. And I watched, I think it was maybe 5th, 6th inning. You finally got that Judge infield, not an infield, I shouldn't say, a base hit right by second base. I was like, oh, now Soto just needs to get a base hit. And of course, you know he didn't. Like, Kev, there was a game this weekend, the Philadelphia Phillies. I had multiple things tied into, and the final piece was, it was a 4-1 parlay with 4 different players to get a base hit on Saturday at Bet365. Like, the best player on certain teams, like the Bobby Witt Juniors, Duran, both got base hits. I forget the third guy was, but he got it right away. The last guy was Bryce Harper. Every single player in the Phillies lineup got a hit but Bryce Harper. Those are the ones I like to laugh at. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I normally wouldn't have picked Harper in that game to say, but like, you know what? He's probably going to go 1-for-4 at worst case. This guy couldn't even find the bases. Also Saturday, Kevin, Randy Rosarena needed him to get one base hit and or an RBI or score a run. 0-for-5, 5 strikeouts. What? My goodness. 5 Ks and 5.
Pretty.
And the worst part, Kev, he had 4 strikeouts. 9th inning, he gets up in a blowout game. It's bases loaded, 1 out.
Oh, that's free.
Again. Yes.
That's free. Come on now.
Oh, my goodness. I'm losing my voice over this. I'm getting so angry. Thanks for tuning in today to a Monday edition for JP on the Wheels of Steel. Johnny Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.